Welcome to the Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis, Chapter 12. This is a very long perek, and likewise a complicated perek. Just to put it into perspective, I once gave a class that went on for a few months just on Perek Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, so it's a little unfair to try and do it in such a short amount of time, but I will attempt to cover the main points. Bathsheba is now married to David, and it would seem beheter. But David has to be woken up to do tshuva for the chilul Hashem, for the desecrating of the name of Hashem aspect of what he did wrong. Again, we covered in last class that there was no adultery, there was no murder, but something was wrong here. Nasan the Navi is going to come now and give David a mashal about what he did wrong. The reason it has to be a mashal, a parable, was because that it wasn't an actual chait, but for his madriga, for his level, it was wrong. Meaning, if it had truly been adultery, then Nosson could have come and said, why did you do adultery? Why did you commit adultery? Why did you commit murder? The reason for the parable is because it was a more subtle sin, and David had to be the one to pick up on the subtlety himself and to give himself his own the verdict for his own punishment. Also, it seems like a parable, a mashal, gives more honor for the king. But the fact that he's setting his own punishment, there's not going to be any argument or disagreement here. The mashal, the parable, is simple. A wealthy person, not a sinner, had a lot of animals and cattle and sheep. But in the same city, there was a poor person. Ularash ein kol ki im kifsa achas ktana. This poor person didn't have anything except for one little sheep, whom he adopted as a daughter. A daughter as opposed to a wife. A sweet little thing. Certainly not an adulteress. And Vayavai Helech Leisha Asher, a visitor came to the house of the wealthy person, and he didn't want to take from his own sheep and from his own cattle to make for the visitor what the food that he needed, and instead Vayikach es kivsas ha'ish harash Vayaseha Leish haba elav, and he took instead the little sheep, the one little sheep that the poor person had, and slaughtered it for the guest. There's a lot of commentary on this part of the mashal. Amar Rava. Rava says, Yetzer Hara, when a Yetzer Hara comes, at the beginning he's just called a Helech, somebody who happens to be passing by, and then he becomes a guest, and then he becomes an Ish. We have this in Perek Aleph of Tehillim. Ashrei ha'ish, blessed is the man, asher lo halach ba'atzas rasham, that he doesn't even walk on the same pathways that the rasham, he doesn't hear their ideas, he's not even anywhere near them, he's not even walking there. Uvederech chata'im lo amad, because if he does, then the next step is that the derech on the pathway of chata'im, of people who sin, lo amad, he doesn't stand, because you start first just by walking by, like our guest, who's a helech, who comes, who just passes by in this mashal, in this parable. So too, we in this first pasuk of Tehillim, actually, you start off by just walking by, but then it becomes derech chata'im lay amad, you end up standing, and finally, lastly, ubemayshav leitim lay yashav, you sit down, you make yourself comfortable, and you're at home. We have to be very, very careful with the Yetzer Hara. It starts off by giving crack, a tiny little crack, a tiny little, just say this, just see this, just do this, and then before we know it, it becomes a habit, it becomes impossible to break, and then we find ourselves in a place that we look back and we say, how in the world did I ever get here? When a dam gets a crack, fix it immediately. If you don't, you're going to have to renovate. If you don't renovate, you're going to have to rebuild the whole thing. Don't allow the dam to get a crack. Don't allow the Yetzer Hara to come in, because that's the process, that it starts off with just passing by. He's just a helech. He's just a visitor who's coming to this man's house. The Yetzer Hara came to David. At the beginning, he was walking on the roof, then he took her in as a guest, then he sent her back, then Uriah dies, lastly, he took her as a wife. The process goes. There's a process to sin. It's interesting that in this mashal, in this parable, he doesn't take the lamb for himself. He doesn't benefit from it at all. That really is speaking to the fact that this was not a lustful encounter. This wasn't something that David was trying to do for his own personal gain. He really, truly believed that what he was doing was for all of Klal Yisrael, for the purpose of Klal Yisrael. Throughout this entire mashal, it's about him being insensitive to the poor person, but no reference to the much, much bigger crime of adultery and murder. But when David hears about this wealthy person, what he did, he gets very angry. And he said, because he took it from a poor person, it's as if he killed him. And he says, Ben Moves Ha'ish Ha'isazais. Somebody who does this is a person who is liable for murder. He should be put to death. Ves Ha'kivsa, and the lamb Yishalem Arba Taim. He has to pay him back four times for the lamb that he took because he did this thing Va'al Asher Loi Chamal, and because he had no mercy. Well, this decree is a very, very radical decree for a person who steals a sheep. And we're going to see it happening to David. The four times that he has to pay back are with his four children, who we're going to be discussing as we continue through our journey of Shmuel Beis. This child, the child that's going to be born, is going to die, that was born is going to die, Amnon, Tamar, we'll speak about, and Avshalom. These are four children who he's going to have to pay with his four children in a devastating way. He's also going to get Tzaraas for 6 months later in life, and this will be keneged to pay back for the death sentence he proclaimed on himself. Because it's a question, like, why would somebody who steals have to have a death sentence? Why is he chayav misa? And it seems like if we look at the pasuk, we'll see first David gets angry at the person who did this, and then he said, even just taking the sheep is a terrible thing. But because once we look into the details of it, there's a wealthy man and he's everything that he had, and he's taking it away from a poor person, then ki ben mavas ha'ish ha'isazais, meaning in the details of this story with the level of the person and everything that he had and who he took it from, in this case, meaning he's not halachically shouldn't be put to death, but because of the details, because of the person who did it, it's not just the action, but considering who the perpetrator was, it's so much more problematic. And immediately Nosson turns to him and says, Ata Ha'ish, you are the man. I'm talking about you precisely. It's not what you did, but who you are and what is expected of you. That's the problem here. You are the person who took it away, who took away this sheep, who did this chait. If David had done what seemed to be that he did, which was adultery and murder, then this mashal doesn't really work. What David did was way worse than taking someone's sheep, if indeed it was adultery, and if indeed it was murder. But what the real problem was this. You didn't do a chait, but it's like stealing from someone. You arranged things that you should benefit from the fact that Uriah was going to die. There was an understanding that after the war, just to review for a minute, that the get that Uriah had given to Bathsheba would become valid, and therefore he arranged that Uriah was going to be killed so that you can have Bathsheba. So in essence, what it was taking away Bathsheba from Uriah by making sure that Uriah was killed. But we spoke about why David had Uriah killed. A very frightening thought here. It's written that a person in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, and our sages teach us that a person judges himself, just like David judged himself in this case. Often we come across a circumstance and we're seeing other people do something, and because we are not always so introspective and insightful about ourselves, actually what the other people are doing is a problem that we ourselves have as well. And we are very judgmental. We make all kinds of proclamations and how could they and what are they thinking? And Chafetz Chaim says, if you always judge other people favorably, you will be judged favorably too. And if you always speak badly of others, then you should know that the malachim, the angels, they're speaking badly about you as well. We have to be very, very careful. And we should know that when we are judging other people, whether we're judging them for the good or not for the good, then we're creating our own court. We're creating our own court. Nosson continues with to berate David in the name of Hashem. Madua bazisa es dvar Hashem la'asais hara. Why did you disparage the word of Hashem to do bad in my eyes? Uriah was killed, or you through you he was killed by sword, and then you took his wife as your wife, and he was killed by the sword of Ammon. Madua Bazisa, why did you disparage? Even though you made all the, you had all your logical reasons and they weren't wrong, you had to know that it would cause a Chilul Hashem. You had to know that people were going to talk about this. You had to know that you are the king. You are David Melech Yisrael. And it's much worse than an Avera that a simple person would do. Because everybody is looking at you and they are talking about you and you are the messenger and the emissary of Hashem. Chilul Hashem, a disgracing of the name of Hashem, is of the worst levels of sin that a person can do. We can't take it back. When we act in a way that people look at us and say, this is the way Jews are, this is the way religious Jews act, or this is the way my teacher is acting, or this is the way that honorable person in my community is acting, we have to be so careful. And you weren't careful enough. It's interesting, the Gemara says that whenever it says to do bad, it says vayas hara, and here it says that he did bad, and here it says la'asois hara, to do the bad, which means that ultimately, because Uriah died retroactively, Batsheva is not considered, it's not an adulterous relationship that they had. So you were spared from actually doing the bad. It didn't actually happen. Ultimately, there's nothing halachically wrong here. She was divorced. He was a married b'malchus, but you weren't careful enough. You weren't careful enough to see that people are going to talk. And it's interesting also, if we see the order in the pasuk, you killed Uriah. You had Uriah killed by sword, and you took his wife. And if we remember the story from yesterday, first he took her, then Uriah was killed, and then he took her again, which means that we're talking about the second taking. When he took her as a wife, that's when everyone put the pieces of the story together. That's when everyone realized that Uriah conveniently got killed, and that's when the Chilul Hashem happened. Again, it's not murder, it's not adultery, but there is definitely a Chilul Hashem aspect here, a desecration of the name of Hashem, and people are going to talk. By the way, the people who are talking are not just the people of David's generation. By the Navi writing it down, it's everybody. I mean, people in our generation are still talking about the story. And this is the problem. This is the difficulty of what you did. And David's reaction was exactly what his reaction was supposed to be. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayemer David el Nasan, and David says to Nasan, Chatasi laHashem. No excuses, no defensiveness, no bat. You're right, I sinned. How impossible is it for us to do this? When somebody comes and attacks us, accuses us, tells us that we did something wrong, our immediate reaction is, but no, and it's you, and he said immediately, I'm the person. You're talking about me? You're right. I made a terrible mistake. And because he was able to acknowledge his mistake immediately, which is something that, again, is so, so hard for us to do, and we've all been in this situation, and we all know. Vayomer Nasan al David gam Hashem he'aver chatascha loy samos. You should know that your verdict of death on yourself is not going to happen. You're not going to die. However, your child is going to die. That son that was born is going to die. Nasan leaves him to show him that he's not going to support him now. And the child gets very sick. And David begins to daven. And he refuses to eat. And he refuses to be comforted. And he refuses to get up off the floor. He puts himself in mourning even before the child is dead. And of course, this immense show of tefillah comes to show us that this is not a child born out of sin. Because if it was a child born out of sin, first of all, the child is a mamzer, is considered a bastard. And he wouldn't want to know, we would want to erase this from the history, right? That there is no child. By davening for the child, it shows that he knows, Nasan knows, everyone knows that there was no adultery here. It also comes to teach us an important principle, which is even though the Navi said he would die, and even though David knew he would die, there was still the hope that the tshuva and tefillah could reverse this. And again, this is something we have all seen in our lives, where there's no hope anymore. There's really no hope, and tshuva and tefillah can reverse something. He refuses to be comforted, but then on the seventh day, the child dies. And his servants, they were all scared to tell David that his child is dead. They said, if this is the way he reacted before the child dies, what are we going to tell him now? But David picked up that they're all whispering, and he asked, why are you all whispering? Did the child die? And when he heard yes, something very puzzling happens. He gets up from the floor and he washes himself and he changes his clothing and he comes to Beis Hashem and he bows before Hashem and he asks for food to eat. Now, halachically, we question how he can change his clothes or how he can wash himself now, but it's less than 30 days. The child is not 30 days old, so there's not going to be any avelus. There's not going to be any mourning for this child. We didn't see a bris milah. We don't see a name here. But even if he had a heter, even if he was allowed to halachically wash, we would still want to understand, as his servants did, why you would want to wash, meaning why aren't you going to be more upset now? And when his servants ask him to explain his behavior, he says, while the child was alive, there was something I could do, but now the only thing I can do is accept the gzar din, accept the din, the justice of Hashem. Ha'uchal la'hashivay oid, can I return him to me? Ani hoylech elav. I'm ultimately going to him. We all are ultimately going to our deaths day by day. V'hu le'yashuv elai. He's not coming back to me, not in this world, not now, not without a tchias ha'mesim. So what would be the point of my continuing to mourn? My continuing to mourn would just show that I don't accept the verdict of Hashem. And what I have to do now is to show that I understand my guilt. And he also goes to Bathsheba and he comforts her by saying that we're going to have another child and this child is going to be the next king. Of course, if there had been something wrong with their relationship and he's trying to do tshuva, he's trying to atone for his sin, he would never have gone back to her. And also another point here that when, and we're going to see it play out soon with Amnon and Tamar, when there is a lustful relationship, meaning when the relationship is not built on true love but on lust, when the lust has been exhausted, there's no relationship left. And here we see that this is a real altruistic love, because she and he were definitely meant to be together and to create this child, Shlomo HaMelech, that the love is going to continue despite all the difficulties, and the fact that Nasan is berating him for what he did could have turned him away from her, but we see that it brings him closer to her. And indeed, they have another child, and the child's name is Shlomo. David called him Shlomo, Bathsheba called him Shlomo, v'Hashem ahevai. Hashem loved this child. Again, another indication. And Hashem calls him Yedidya, the friend of Hashem. And now that we know that he was forgiven, the war with Ammon, which we started to proclaim back, is going to be finished. He didn't want to be involved in this war as long as the Midas Hadin judgment was hanging over his head. Perhaps it would just cause more death and more troubles. But now that Shlomo was born, and we see that there's Shlomo means shalom, peace. Peace has been made between Hashem and David. Yoav continues with this war. He is almost victorious, and now he calls David to come and finish it off. He says, David, come, I want you to get credit for this war. If I finish the war, they're going to say it was me. It's almost ironic that we know this, that the Pasuk tells us this. So we know that David comes there. And back to the crown, which we spoke about in Perek Yud, a fitting end to this battle, to be able to wear this crown. Vayikach es ateres malka me'al reishai. He takes the crown from the head of the king, of their king, and it weighs a kikar zahav. It's a heavy, heavy crown. It weighs a whole kikar. It's a measurement of gold. Ve'evan yikaran. It has a precious stone in it. Vatihi al reish David. And it fits on the head of David. It's a magical crown that only fits on the heads of people who are ra'ui, who are destined to be a king. There's some sort of stick that went from side to side, and it should not have fit, and it did not fit anybody else's head except for the head of someone who was meant to be king. We'll see when Adoniyahu, much later, tries to make himself king, the crown didn't fit him. And by the crown fitting the head of David, what a beautiful message to David that, yes, it's been you did something wrong. You did something really wrong that you're going to, it's going to have to be reconciled, and it's going to be a lot of difficulties that are still going to come. But the head is going to, the crown is going to fit on your head. And then we end the parak with the total subjugation of Ammon. Never again now will they come back. Vayashav David v'chol ha'am Yerushalayim. And David and the whole nation returns to Yerushalayim. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilu nishmot imahotenu hayikorot, Esther Oppenheimer, Allah HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker, Allah HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.